I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. We've been speaking in our study about the tribulation period, that there is a first 3.5 years of the tribulation period that will take place, and this is a time that the Bible speaks of peace and safety. But it also says that this peace and safety will end, and then will the tribulation period begin. Peace and safety, and then sudden destruction, the Bible says. And if those days had not been shortened, even the very elect, that is the Jewish people, the Jewish people would be completely wiped out. But God says through His mercy that this is not going to happen, that He's going to shorten those days so that the elect can be saved. Well, we want to look right now at the fourth beast of Daniel chapter 7, the beast. And of course, this is the Antichrist, the beast that will be in the tribulation period. He's the one that's going to be in charge, really. And when I say in charge, we know that God is still overseeing everything. He's still God, and He's still controlling things. But He's letting the devil and this person that comes on the scene, He's giving them, you heard the old saying, you give somebody enough rope and he'll hang himself. Well, that's primarily what happens here to the ones who are prominent during the tribulation and the great tribulation. God allows them to go so far, and then He puts a stop to it. Well, the beast of Daniel chapter 7, some of the characteristics that this person will have, he will be an intellectual genius. In Daniel chapter 8 and verse 23, it says, in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding, dark sentences shall stand up. And this is speaking, of course, of the beast. You read all of this in context, and you'll find this is speaking of the kingdom when the transgressors are come to full, a king of fierce countenance. You'll find this is in the latter time. You'll find that this is speaking of the tribulation period. So the beast will be someone who is an intellectual genius. And then he will be an oratorical genius, according to Daniel 11:36. And the king shall do according to his will. And he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that he is determined shall be, for that is determined shall be done. Well, he's going to speak great things against the God of gods. He's going to blaspheme God. He's going to blaspheme our Savior. And you don't get away with that. Something takes place. And as we continue to study, we're going to see the end of this fellow, the false prophet, the beast, later on. But he's not only an intellectual genius, he's an oratorical genius. He's able to speak great swelling words and convince people that, you know, with his words that he's who he says, you know, he's great, and people will fall for this. And he will also be a political genius. In Revelation chapter 17 and verse 11, it says, and the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. Verse 12. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. He's going to be an organizer. He's going to be a political genius. He'll be able to draw people. He'll be able to draw kings and kingdoms together and convince them that he's the greatest. Intellectually, oratorically, and politically, he's going to be a genius. And then we also see that he will be a commercial genius. In Revelation 13:16, it says, and he calls us all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Why? So that they can buy and sell. And Daniel 11:43 says, but he shall have power over the treasures of gold and of silver. and over all the precious things of Egypt, in other words, the world. And the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. Everybody, except those who do not receive the mark of the beast, will be under his control. They will. This is a time when people are really fooled. And not only that, he's going to be a military genius. Revelation 6:2, and we've read this before, and I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. He's a military genius. He does conquering even without arrows, according to this. He had a bow, but no arrows, and he was on a white horse. That's a horse that is of peace. Remember, the first 3.5 years, peace and safety, but then sudden destruction. Revelation 13:2 says, "And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and his and great authority." He has all the attributes of the first three beasts of Daniel 7, but his power comes from the dragon, the devil. He will be a military genius, and also he will be a religious genius. In Revelation 13:8, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world." Once again, how do you get your name in that book, the book of the life of the Lamb? You receive Jesus as your Savior. The Bible teaches us that there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. And I pray that you've done that, that you've asked Jesus to come into your heart. And that's the only way that anyone is saved, even during the tribulation period, is to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. But this Antichrist, this beast, he's going to be a religious genius, and he's going to convince people that he's going to say that he's God. And there's going to be some people who fall for that. In 2 Thessalonians 2:4, it says, "Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." He is going to fool so many people that they will actually believe that he is God. Well, he's intellectual. He's going to be a genius. He's going to be an oratorical genius, a political genius, a commercial genius, a military genius, and a religious genius. Well, during this time, we're also introduced to two people, the two witnesses found in Revelation chapter 11, chapter 13. I believe the two witnesses will come on the scene during the first half of the tribulation. Now, some believe that it's going to be the last half, but the last 3.5 year reign or great tribulation of the beast does not begin until after the witnesses are slain. Revelation 11:7 and says, "And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them." Now, this is the first explicit reference in Revelation to the beast in Revelation chapter 11, though John no doubt recognized him as the fourth beast of Daniel's prophecy of Daniel 7:7. He will already have become sufficiently powerful as a world leader. And this, once again, is the first 3.5 years of tribulation. Also, Revelation 13:5 speaks of the beast continuing 42 months, 3.5 years, and this would be after the death of the two witnesses. Revelation 13:5 says, "And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Well, he's already been on the scene 42 months in the first half of the tribulation. So after the death of the two witnesses, he's going to continue on 42 months. That is the second half of the tribulation. Now, as we read in Revelation 13:3, And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Guess what? 1,260 days is 42 months. That's the first half of the tribulation. Revelation 11:6. "These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will." Well, remember this, that Revelation 11:5 says, "And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in like manner be killed. Well, here's a side note. Now, this is something that, did you ever wonder why all these so-called artifact or this is something, once again, it's a side note, but did you ever wonder why all these so-called artifact Ark of the Covenant hunters could not and will not find the Ark of the Covenant? Remember Indiana Jones, that movie, and he was looking for the Ark of the Covenant? Well, the answer is found in Revelation 11:19. It says, "And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in the temple the Ark of His Testament." That's the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of His Testament. "And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail." Well, the reason that people can't find the Ark of the Covenant is because it's in heaven. This is something that once again, believe the Word of God, because you can't improve upon it. The Word of God is true. Well, who are the two witnesses? In Revelation chapter 11 and verse 4 says, "And these are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth." Zechariah 4:12-14 then says this, "And I answered again, and I said unto him, What be these two olive branches?" Remember, we talked about in Revelation 11:4. Who are these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, "Knowest thou not what these be?" And I said, "No, my Lord." Then said he, "These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth." You see, God knew who these people were before they came to the earth during this time. He knew who they were, and He knows who they are. Now, many people believe that one of these people, Moses, because the plagues that they bring, that they cause to happen, that come upon the earth. Now, remember the plagues that came upon Egypt. They're comparing the plagues of Egypt with Moses being one of the people who comes during this time, one of the two witnesses. But you know, I believe that, once again, that Elijah is going to be one of the witnesses. And I believe that, rather than Moses, I believe that Enoch is going to be one of the two witnesses. And the Lord's will, we'll look at that further as we continue our study about the Great Tribulation. But let me say that if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to be sharing Jesus as your Savior with other people so that they can receive Jesus as Savior as well. We need to let people know that God loves them, that He wants them to be saved and go to heaven. So as a saved person, why not share Jesus Christ with other people? Use tracts. Use your voice. Use what means God has given you. Use the Word of God. Use the Bible. And let people know that they too can be saved.
You've been listening to It's a Good Life Radio. To request a free transcript of this program, you can write to Dr. Woodard at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Visit our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We know you will be blessed. This program is listener supported. Support your local church first. Any gifts to support this ministry can be sent to LRWM at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Until next time, this is Doug Anderson reminding you, it's a good life living for the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.